Blog Talk Radio.
Sunday, and the Catholic Defender has our Chaplet of Divine Mercy Novena, the eighth day. And we started off musically.
Help.
That is the Memorare. Most of you probably already know that. I wonder if Mary had any inkling when she was asked to be the Mother of God, of all the prayers down through the ages that would be said in her name. Incredible. The Catholic Defender, today we present the Chaplet of Divine Mercy Novena 8th Day, and that's Purgatory. Today, bring me the souls who are detained in purgatory and immerse them in the abyss of my mercy. Let the torrents of my blood cool down their scorching flames. All these souls are greatly loved by me. They are making retribution to my justice. It is in your power to bring them relief. Draw on all the indulgences from the treasury of my church and offer them on their behalf. Oh, if you only knew the torments they suffer, you would continually offer for them the alms of the Spirit, and pay off their debt to my justice. Most merciful Jesus, you have said that you desire mercy, so I bring to you your abode of the most compassionate heart, the souls in purgatory, souls who are very dear to you, and yet who must make retribution to your justice. May the streams of blood and water which gush from your heart put out the flames of purgatory, that there too the power of your mercy may be celebrated. Eternal Father, turn to your most merciful gaze upon the suffering souls in purgatory who are enfolded in the most compassionate heart of Jesus. I beg you, by the sorrowful passion of Jesus, your Son, and by all the bitterness with which his most sacred soul was flooded, manifest your mercy to the souls who are under your just scrutiny. Look upon them in no other way, but only through the wounds of Jesus, your dearly beloved Son. For we firmly believe that there is no limit to your goodness and compassion. Amen. May the streams of blood and water which gush forth from your heart put out the flames in purgatory, that there too maybe the power of your mercy may be celebrated. Eternal Father, turn your most merciful gaze upon the suffering souls in purgatory who are enfolded in the most compassionate heart of Jesus. St. Faustina, you told us that your mission would continue after your death, and you would not forget us. Our Lord also granted you a great privilege, telling you to distribute graces as you will, to whom you will and when you will. Relying on this, we ask your intercession for the graces we need, especially for the intentions just mentioned. Help us above all to trust in Jesus as you did, and thus glorify his mercy every moment of our lives. Amen. On the occasion of the 70th anniversary of the revelation of the Divine Mercy message and devotion granted to the Church by our Lord Jesus Christ through St. Maria Faustina Kowalska, as well as the 60th anniversary of the promotion of this message and devotion throughout the world by you, Marians, of the Immaculate Conception of the BVM of the St. Stanislaus Kostyuk of Providence, headquartered in Eden Hill in Stockbridge, Massachusetts, in the United States of America. I hereby thank you for your participation with others in the successful conclusion of St. Maria Faustina's canonization cause, and encourage you to be apostles of the divine mercy under the maternal and loving guidance of Mary. That by deed, word, and prayer, you would proclaim this urgent and solitary message of the devotion to Jesus, the divine mercy, especially as you minister to the needs of the faithful who come on pilgrimage to the National Shrine of Divine Mercy, placed in your country by God's providence under your solicitous care, as a token of abundance of divine blessings upon your Marian associate helpers and benefactors, I impart my most heartful apostolic blessing. Day 4, St. Catherine of Siena, Novena. Let us begin. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Heavenly Father, your glory is in your saints. We praise your glory in the life of the admirable St. Catherine of Siena, Virgin and Doctor of the Church. Her whole life was a noble sacrifice inspired by an ardent love of Jesus, your unblemished Lamb. In troubled times, she strenuously upheld the rights of his beloved spouse, the Church. Father, honor her merits and hear her prayers for each of us. Help us to pass unscathed through the corruption of this world. Help us always to see in the Vicar of Christ an anchor in the storms of life and a beacon of light to the harbor of your love. In the dark night of your times and men's souls, grant also to each of us our special petition. We ask this through Jesus, your Son, in the bond of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We pray for America, for our Constitution, for those suffering addictions, and those in bondage, for those who need deliverance. We pray for the Catholic Church, for Pope Francis, and all the clergy. St. Catherine of Siena, pray for us. Third Sunday of Easter. Reading 1 is Acts 2, 14, 22, and 23. And I believe we have a musical interlude prior to that.
Purgatory.
What a song. Before we get into Acts 2, 14, 22 to 30 to 33, a little programming note. I want to remind you that we're not through with Mary yet. We've heard a lot about it. We heard the Memorare in song just a few minutes ago. And tonight at 9 o'clock Eastern, 8 o'clock Central Time, I believe this program is still on, it's Journey with Mary with John Carpenter. And he's going to take us to Vienza, Italy in 1426. It's a fascinating story, and you'll enjoy that, I'm sure. Now Acts 2, 14, 22 to 33. Then Peter stood up with the 11, raised his voice, and proclaimed, "You who are Jews, indeed all of you staying in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and listen to my words. You who are Israelites, hear these words. Jesus, the Nazarene, was a man commended to you by God with mighty deeds, wonders, and signs, which God worked through him in your midst, as you yourselves know. This man, delivered up by the set plan and foreknowledge of God, you killed, using lawless men to crucify him. But God raised him up, releasing him from the throes of death, because it was impossible for him to be held by it. For David says of him, 'I saw the Lord ever before me. With him at my right hand, I shall not be disturbed. Therefore, my heart has been glad, and my tongue has exalted. My flesh, too, will dwell in hope, because you will not abandon my soul to the netherworld, nor will you suffer your Holy One to see corruption. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. My brothers, one can confidently say to you about the patriarch David that he died and was buried, and his tomb is in our midst to this day. But since he was a prophet and knew that God had sworn an oath to him that he would set one of his descendants upon his throne, he foresaw and spoke of the resurrection of the Christ, that neither was he abandoned to the netherworld, nor did his flesh see corruption. God raised this Jesus. Of this we are all witnesses. Exalted at the right hand of God, he received the promise of the Holy Spirit from the Father and poured him forth as you see and hear." Responsorial Psalm, Psalm 16, 1 and 2. The Lord, you will show us the path of life. Keep me, O God, for you, in you I take refuge. I say to the Lord, my Lord are you. O Lord, my allotted portion and my cup, it is you, it is who hold my fast my lot. Lord, you will show us the path of life. I bless the Lord who counsels me. Even in the night, my heart exhorts me. I set the Lord ever before me. With him at my right hand, I shall not be disturbed. Lord, you will show us the path of life. Therefore, my heart is glad. My soul rejoices. My body, too, abides in confidence, because you will not abandon my soul to the netherworld, nor will you suffer your faithful one to undergo corruption. Lord, you will show us the path of life. You will show me the path of life, abounding joy in your presence, the delights at your right hand forever. Lord, you will show us the paths of life. Reading 2, 1 Peter 1, 17 to 21. Beloved, if you invoke as Father him who judges impartially according to each one's works, conduct yourself with reverence during the time of your sojourning, realizing that it is you, that you were ransomed from your futile conduct handed on by your ancestors. No, not with perishable things like gold or silver, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a spotless, unblemished lamb. He was known before the foundation of the world, but revealed in the final time for you, who through him believed in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are in God. Lord Jesus, open the scriptures for us, or to us. Make our hearts burn while you speak to us. The Gospel, Luke 24, 13, 35. This is the one I always say I hold to be a fly on the wall. That very day, the first day of the week, two of Jesus' disciples were going to a village 7 miles from Jerusalem called Emmaus. And they were conversing about all the things that had occurred. And it happened that while they were conversing and debating, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them, but their eyes were prevented from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing as you walk along?" They stopped, looked downcast. One of them named Cleophas said to him in reply, "Are you the only visitor in Jerusalem who does not know of the things that have taken place there in these days?" And he replied to them, "What sort of things?" They said to him, "The things that happened to Jesus, the Nazarene, who was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and the people, how our chief priests and rulers both handed him over to a sentence of death and crucified him. But we were hoping that he would be the one to redeem Israel. And besides all this, it is now the third day since this took place. Some women from our group, however, have astounded us. They were at the tomb early in the morning and didn't find his body. They came back and reported that they had seen a vision of angels who announced that he was alive. Then some of those who were with us went to the tomb and found things just as the woman had described, but him they did not see. And he said to them, 'Oh, how foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all the prophets spoke. Was it not necessary that the Christ should suffer these things and enter into his glory?' Then, beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he interpreted them what referred to him in all the scriptures. As they approached the village to which they were going, he gave the impression that he was going on further. But they urged him, 'Stay with us, for it is nearly evening and the day is almost over.' So he went in to stay with them. And it happened that while he was with them at table, he took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and gave it to them. With that, their eyes were open, and they recognized him, but he vanished from their sight. Then they said to one another, were not our hearts burning within us when he spoke to us and on the way and opened the scriptures to us? So they set out at once and returned to Jerusalem, where they found gathered together the 11 and those with them, who were saying, 'The Lord has truly been raised and has appeared to Simon.' Then the two recounted what had taken place on the way, and how he was made known to them in the breaking of the bread. Our saint of the day, oh, you're going to love this one. Our saint of the day is Saint George. Ladies and gentlemen, presenting Hartley's Heroes. Here's Donald Hartley with his Hartley's Hero for today. And our saint of the day is Saint George. The Crusaders contributed a great deal to transforming the figure of Saint George the Martyr into a holy warrior, seeing in the killings of the dragon a symbol for the defeat of Islam. Richard I of England, the Lionheart, invoked him as the protector of all soldiers. Within the Normans, as the cult of St. George had become firmly rooted in England, where in 1348, King Edward III established the Order of the Knights of St. George. Throughout the Middle Ages, his figure inspired a great deal of epic literature. When George was old enough, he was welcomed into the Diocletian army. By his late 20s, George became a tribunus and served in an imperial guard for the emperor at Nicomedia. On February 24, 303 AD, Diocletian, who hated Christians, announced that every Christian in the army passed would be arrested, and every other soldier should offer a sacrifice to the Roman gods. George refused to abide by the order and told Diocletian, who was angry but greatly valued his friendship with George's father. Saint George is thought to have been born into a noble Christian family in the late 3rd century in what is now modern-day Turkey. As a soldier and an officer in the Roman army, he refused to denounce his faith and persecuted fellow Christians, leading to his martyrdom in 303 AD. Saint George is the object of a vast amount of imagination. There is every reason to believe that he was a real martyr who suffered at Lydia in Palestine, probably before the time of Constantine. The church adheres to his memory, but not to the legend surrounding his life. That he was willing to pay the supreme price to follow Christ is what the church believes, and That is enough. As the princess was being led to the dragon, St. George happened to be passing by and was horrified when he found out what had been happening and offered to slay the dragon to save the king's daughter. The story of George's slaying of the dragon, rescuing the king's daughter and converting Livia is a 12th century Italian fable. George was a favorite patron saint of crusaders, as well as of Eastern scholars in earlier times. He is a patron saint of England, Portugal, Germany, Aragon, Catalonia, Genoa, Milan, and Bologna. Human nature seems to crave more of the cold historical data. Americans of Washington and Lincoln, but we somehow need Paul Bunyan, too. The life of St. Francis of Assisi is inspiring enough, but for centuries the Italians have found his spirit in the legends of the Ferretti, too. Santa Claus is a popular extension of the spirit of St. Nicholas. The legends about St. George are part of this yearning. Both fact and legend are human ways of illuminating the mysterious truths about the one who alone is holy. St. George performed several miracles. Once he prayed to the Lord over a man's grave, and immediately the earth quaked, and the grave opened, the man was raised from the dead. Those who witnessed this miracle immediately believed in Christ. Similarly, at another instance, there was a farmer whose only ox had died. St. George's Day on 23 April is a time of celebration in England. He's everyone's friend. He probably never visited England. It wasn't England's first pick. He supposedly had 9 lives. He shares his death date with William Shakespeare. There are several stories about George fighting dragons, but in the Western versions, a dragon or crocodile made its nest at a spring that provides water to Selene, believed to be the modern-day Cyrene in Libya. The people were unable to collect water and so attempted to remove the dragon from its nest on several occasions. It would temporarily leave the nest when they offered it a sheep each day until the sheep disappeared and the people were distraught. That's when they decided that a maiden would be just as effective as sending a sheep. The townspeople chose the victim by drawing straws. This continued until one day the prince's straw was drawn. The monarch begged for her to be spared, but the people would not have it. She was offered to the dragon, but before she could be devoured, George appeared. He faced the dragon, protected himself with a sign of the cross, and slayed the dragon. After saving the town, the citizens abandoned paganism and were all converted to Christianity. George is a highly celebrated saint in both the Western and Eastern culture, Christian churches, and many patronages of St. George extend throughout the world. George is the patron saint of England. St. George is considered the patron of knights, soldiers, scouts, fencers, and archers, among others. He is also invoked against the plague and leprosy and against venomous snakes. During the Middle Ages, people believed that St. George was one of the 14 holy helpers, a group of saints who could help during epidemic diseases. St. George's protection was invoked against several nasty diseases and many fatal and with infectious causes, including the plague and leprosy. St. George came to be called on by Christians to aid them in battle in time of great need, and upon victory, churches were built to honor him. Festivals celebrating the ensuing victories became a part of local traditions and led to increased devotion to him. When George announced his beliefs before his peers, Diocletian was unable to keep the news to himself. In an effort to save George, Diocletian attempted to convert him to believe in the Roman gods, offered him land, money, and slaves in exchange for offering a sacrifice to the Roman gods, and made several other offers that George refused. Finally, after exhausting all other options, Diocletian ordered George's execution. In preparation for his death, George gave his money to the poor and was sent for several torture sessions. He was lacerated on a wheel of swords and required resuscitation 3 times, but George still did not turn from God. On April 23rd, 303 AD, George was decapitated before Nicomedia's outer wall. His body was sent to Lydia for burial, and other Christians went to honor George as a martyr. And that's our saint for the day. Presenting from Deeper Truth, the saint of the day. They say that every dog has its day. Well, so does every saint. And when the saints go marching in, Donald Hartley, the Catholic defender, knows exactly who's going to be in that number. And he'll share them with you every day. That's the saint of the day for inspiring true stories of your everyday saint. Don't worry, they won't bite.
No, but they'll sure bless.
That's a powerful story about St. George.
Oh, absolutely. He was featured on cartoons, I think, in this part of the world. St. George and the Dragon.
Oh. And we all face dragons in some way.
Yeah, they're not just the fire-breathing kind either.
No. Well, Mike, I'm glad that you were able to get to Mass.
Yeah, me too.
And thank you for what you did here.
Hey, no problem.
Well, since our Lord made, about purgatory this eighth day, I'm going to share this.
Hadn't that been something?
Yes. Thank you, Mike. And thank you, Donna. We'll see you tomorrow. And see you tonight with John Carpenter and Mike. God bless.